Brittany French.
Hey, I'm Rob McDonald.
And this is the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast.
We're going to talk about everything from fishing and hunting to hiking, paddling, and adventures on the Great Plains. We'll cover it all here.
So join us each episode and hear what's going on in the great outdoors on the Great Plains. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Great Plains Outdoors Podcast. The dog days of summer are here and it's been a brutal, brutal past couple of weeks with this heat, but fall is right around the corner and I know I am personally really looking forward to that. It's been a while since we've been able to get together and record a podcast. Rob and I have both been pretty crazy busy. So Rob, what have you been up to? Fill me in.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it has been a crazy summer. My family and I took an epic, I've heard a lot of folks term it as a once in a lifetime family vacation. My kids are about the right age for a long road trip. And we drove across much of the Great Plains, across Nebraska and South Dakota and Wyoming and all the way to coastal Oregon and spent some time and came back through the giant redwoods and across California and Nevada and back across Wyoming and Nebraska. And we got back in time from that trip for our county fair. So my kids are both involved in 4-H. And in the meantime, between all that, we've been doing some horseback riding and trying to squeeze in some fishing when I can, get my kids out and cast a line. And so, yeah, that's, you know, fall's right around the corner. School's kind of, if you're not back already, it's on the horizon if you're a student or an educator. And it has been a whirlwind of a summer. What's your last couple of weeks been like? I know you've been pretty equally busy.
That is an epic vacation, by the way.
Yeah, it was fun. Tell me
what you guys did once already, and I'm still like, man. That's awesome. Good stories to tell in the future. That's so cool. I've had a crazy couple weeks, but probably not as crazy. Enjoyed the beaches of San Diego for a while last week. Talk about 65 degrees and just sunny and wonderful. Man, I could go back to that. Spent some time out at Lake Wilson for a family reunion and welcomed my new baby niece into the world as of early last week. So that was awfully fun. And I just picked up my deer mount from my 2020 season. So that's been pretty fun.
Right on. That's exciting.
Yeah. Cool. Definitely be in the mood to hunt now, right? You kind of get a taste of the last season. You're like, okay, it's time.
For sure. Yeah.
So let's talk about fishing. What kind of fishing is going on, Rob?
Yeah, you know, I have had enough of this heat and humidity, and I'm definitely ready for those fall temperatures, for the evenings to cool off, for bonfires, and hunting seasons are definitely around the corner, and I'm excited for our podcast, and we're working to try and get some guests on as we start to anticipate and get into these hunting seasons that are coming along, tips and tactics, but for now, it is the dog days of summer. We're in mid-August, right? And the catfishing bite is pretty dang good, especially if you know, you're trying to beat those hot temperatures and you want to get out, you know, in the evening, early morning, or even overnight, you know, the middle of the night. That water temperature is warm, and that gets those fish. They've, you know, the spawn is over, and they've really got the feed bag on. Anticipation for cooler temperatures.
Yeah, so some of you might be headed out to the lake, you know, wrapping up your last tidbit of summer that you have with your kids, or just as a enjoying the summer in general, going to the lake. And besides camping, you know, hiking, sitting around the campfire, you know, one great option to do is some catfishing.
Yeah, for sure. You know, you can get out there and battle some big old brute fish, you know, or maybe you just want to get out and have some fast action at a farm pond or a creek with some bullheads, any kind of catfish in between there, you know. Let's spend a little time and we'll just talk about maybe some tips and tactics. Catfish are found all across the Great Plains, you know, until you get way over in South Dakota into the Black Hills. Most of the plains have got catfish where you can find water. You know, if it's deep enough, cool enough water that fish can live there, then catfish are probably going to survive, whether that's in a river, a lake, a reservoir, a creek, a pond, from channel catfish, mm-hmm. bullhead catfish, blue cats, and flatheads or yellow cats. They're my favorite. They are active feeders, like I said, during these warm months, and they have some incredible feed conversion rates. Channel cats, you know, farmed channel cats for the grocery market, they can almost convert. It's like over 80% feed ratio, which is pretty wild.
Wow.
So, yeah, and, you know, they're easy to catch, too. I mean, there's a variety of baits. I don't know if you've got a favorite catfish bait, Brittany.
You know, this is one that I was told that if I shared with anybody, they'd have to kill me. So I'm going to live on the edge here and share it. I don't feel like it's the best kept secret, but it seems to work pretty well every time I'm out. And it's chicken, right? Cut up. And then it's a cherry Kool-Aid flavoring all over it. Turns your hands awfully red, but it works pretty darn well.
Yeah. And you know, so are you mostly targeting channel cats, blue cats with that type of bait?
Yeah. Some channels, mostly blues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, some guys swear by earthworms and other guys will use night crawlers and some people only like red worms and you've got the chicken liver folks and.
Oh yeah. That's
yeah. And you know, turkey livers work. If you shoot that deer this fall and you're not going to eat the liver, save it for catfish bait. Catfish love in venison liver stays on the hook a lot better than a chicken liver. Mm-hmm. And some guys will put vanilla extract or black jelly beans or cherry Kool-Aid in with their chicken livers, right? Or their turkey livers or whatever.
Vanilla extract.
Yep. Yeah. And you want to use, I'm right there with you. Somebody might kill me for saying this on a podcast, but you want to use the extract with the alcohol. It works better. So I think those catfish like that little bit of booze in there. I don't know.
That's interesting. Yeah. And who would blame them?
It's hot. They want a cold one too. So you know, you've got cut bait. And you can go to your local bait shop and get stink bait, doe bait. I've got a good friend of mine this time of year. His all-time favorite catfish bait is to fill a gallon milk jug about half full with big old fat grasshoppers and then hang it in a tree for a couple days. And he swears by that. And that guy catches a lot of big channel cats, especially on the river.
That seems like a big to-do, you know?
Yeah, you know, he'll get a friend or one of his grandkids, and they just get a seine net, you know, like you would seine bait out of a river or creek, and they'll just seine a grassy field, and it doesn't take very long, and you can get more grasshoppers than you care for. Wow. Put them in that jug and put the lid on it and let them kind of do their thing in the sun, and catfish love them. Yeah.
I remember not enjoying fishing at a very young age because my grandma swore by the liver and I just was not having it. I guess I was kind of a priss back then. That's a good way to describe it. So instead, because I wouldn't bait my hook with the livers or a worm at that age, she just bought me a can of corn. And so that was my fishing introduction until I really got into it.
just canned sweet corn?
Yep.
Yep. That works. And, you know, crawfish, if we were talking about seining and, you know, any sort of live bait. Now you got to be careful with live bait. You know, I just saw recently that a lake out by McPherson had identified an invasive crawfish.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. And I know there's issues and laws with live bait fish, you know, trying to, and if you catch bait fish in an impoundment and carry it over the dam and fish in the outlet or vice versa, that there's some issues there. So,
I know they are offering some folks a little prizes for them to bring in a frozen crawfish from out there.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
I don't think they've really caught any yet, or maybe that was a few weeks ago. Maybe they have now.
Interesting. Yeah. So, you're mentioning your blue cap bait, and you know, a lot of folks would consider fresh cut shad, live bait fish, chicken livers. You know, the world record, I looked this up, the world record blue cat was 143 pound fish.
Holy cow.
Yeah. And it was caught in Virginia.
Wow.
So yeah, there are some big old blues out there.
I would like to see someone pull that thing up on the boat.
Right. So the world record flathead was caught in Kansas. And I'm just going to quickly verify the weight.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get this wrong.
I've seen a lot of pictures going across social medias with some Kansas folks pulling some big old catfish out. So I would it was caught here in Kansas.
Yeah. So 123 pounds, 9 ounces, May 14th, 1998 in the Elk City Reservoir in Kansas.
Wow. Not too far away. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big old flathead catfish.
Yeah.
So, you know, those blue cats, they're more open water fish, you know, holding on those depth changes, contour changes, you know, underwater creek channels and drop offs. But my favorite, I think I mentioned, is the flathead catfish, especially this time of year, from now till about the first part of November.
Is that because they're just really active, or what's your favorite thing about them?
You know, I like fishing where they live. They frequent snags, and they're sort of more of an ambush predator, sunken trees, rocks, holes. You know, Kansas recently had the hand fishing laws changed where there's a season, and so, you know, a lot of folks will go primarily after flatheads or big channels and small rivers and creeks and lakes for that matter, impoundments. But flatheads just fight like a bulldog, and if you've ever had flathead fillets of the catfish, it's my favorite fish to eat. But the belly meat on a big flathead catfish, you know, I say big, an eater size, I'm going to call 20 to 30 pounds. I mean, I definitely would clean one under that. Yeah. But they get over that. I tend to personally turn back those big breeder catfish.
Yep.
But that belly meat on those flatheads is ridiculously good. Yeah, I kind of have termed it before as it's kind of a cross between really good white fish meat, flaky white fish meat, and a chicken strip, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you do much noodling for catfish?
I do not. I know some friends. I know some people. I have some friends that do. And I've spent a fair amount of time on rivers trapping muskrats and raccoons and beavers, you know, fur trapping, and I don't think I'd want to tangle with any of those animals. And I've seen some big old snapping turtles come out of some of those same areas. So for me, if I'm going to fish those areas where those guys are fishing, I'll do it after the spawn with a rod and reel.
Mm-hmm. I am quite terrified of noodling. I think it's the most, I don't even know how to describe it. It just terrifies me. Like, I think in my head, I think this fish is going to actually pull me under and keep me under the water.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also Just, I've seen so many battle wounds from people noodling. I'm like, man, was that worth it? And kudos to all you guys that do that, because I appreciate it. You probably won't ever catch me out there doing it.
Yeah, you know, you get land one of those big fish, and the inside of their mouth is like 20 grit sandpaper. I mean, it is rough.
Right. I think people will probably think too, like, oh, it's fish. They don't like, teeth wise, not really an issue, you know, like it's just slimy, like a fish.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a walleye. It's not a northern pike, something with big old sharp teeth, but
yeah, it's certainly not.
Yeah. Not my deal, the hand fishing or noodling, not my cup of tea, but you know, it is interesting. On the Great Plains, there are folks doing it, and it is regulated. And that's primarily during the spawn season. You know, those males are guarding that nest, and yeah, it's pretty exciting stuff. Personally, I like to either set lines or rod and reel fish for big flatheads. And, you know, a shout out to Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks magazine. I just did an article in the last issue about set lines, bank lines, trot lines, and now there's a jug line season in Kansas. So there's certain reservoirs and certain rules, stipulations as far as what you can use for a float and how many hooks it can have, and you have to put your name on it. So definitely check out those regulations if you're going to try to do some float or jug line fishing, at least in the state of Kansas, and I'm sure other states as well that either do or don't have a season. You always know the regulations, but
yeah, absolutely. And usually those fishing regulations, if you have questions about them, you can call a game warden just as you could for hunting questions too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, a lot of that stuff's online. You know, you can download the PDF of, I think, about every state that I'm aware of. You can download the regs and read them right off your phone, or, you know, your tablet or your laptop, whatever.
I would venture to say, check them every year, because regulations change so often. It's not like you get a public service announcement when they do. So I think it's always better to be safe than sorry, instead of getting that ticket.
Absolutely.
Something wrong. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. So, you know, those big flatheads, they like a little different bait, my experience at least, than the blues and the channels. Not that a blue cat won't eat fresh live bait, or channel cat for that matter, but my experience is the flatheads, I think, prefer it. About, you know, little smaller than hand-sized bluegill maybe makes a great flathead bait, or fresh caught shad. Shad are hard to keep alive on a hook or in a bucket. Shiners, if they're legal, you know, where you're fishing at, whether you seine those or buy them at a bait shop. I'm lucky enough, some of the water that I fish has golden shiners in it for a forage fish, and can sometimes get into those with just a bobber and a worm on a hook, or even a real small jig or a fly. I can catch them as golden shiners, and they make great flathead bait.
There you go.
So yeah, that's I don't know, that's kind of the catfish in a nutshell, for me anyway.
Boys love pulling fish out of the water. I was just thinking, in some of our outdoor mentors, you know, outings that we've done with fishing, and the kids, it just, you know, it's one thing to watch them, you know, harvest an animal. It's another thing to watch them pull this, you know, pull out of the water with this big old fish or small fish, right? Like, either way, their eyes are always huge, and they're like, what do I do with it?
Yeah, it is, you know, if you stop to think about it, it's sort of like this alien life form from another planet, you know, because you can't just go down there and walk around and see them, you know?
Exactly. So, yeah. That's exactly. And it's like the kids that you like holding them all out on a pole, like, okay, maybe you should grab it and touch it, and then I'll look at it. And then you eventually get them to hold on to it long enough to take a picture with them. But I would venture to say most of our pictures are with kids holding the line and the fish on it.
Yeah, just hanging on the end of the line out there. Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of getting kids outdoors and fishing, and you know, we were talking about the hunting stuff, all of the seasons that are just like right around the corner. Like it's
they
kind of exciting.
Man. Man, we've got what, dove season coming up September 1.
Right.
We've got youth waterfowl weekend here in Kansas, early October.
Squirrel season is currently open.
Yeah.
I feel like when it starts to get cooler, we're going to have more folks in the small game action getting out there.
It's pretty warm right now for that.
Right. The early prairie chicken season is going to open up.
Yeah. You know, got the youth deer season, the hottest deer season you will ever hunt.
Right. Muzzleloader season is right around the corner. The early teal season opens next month. So if you and you know, in the Dakotas and Nebraska, their upland seasons are going to start opening up here in just a couple weeks. You know, whether you're after prairie chickens or huns or pheasants, quail, those northern states on the plains. Mm-hmm. Check out those regulations. If you're down, if you live in those parts of the Great Plains, or if you're down for a road trip, and you want to get that bird dog out for extend your season. Brandon Hines that we had on, and we're talking about youth turkey hunting. Him and I were just talking yesterday, and he's in that mode about, man, you know, if I could extend my upland season and get up to South Dakota, maybe get over to Nebraska. And when our season still has a week or two before it opens, or maybe even a month,
right?
Get in a few more hunts. So
yeah, there's a way to. That's definitely a way to extend it.
Yeah, plenty of opportunity. And I'm here to tell you that the crappie fishing is just going to get better. So if you're a fisherman or an angler. It's just right around the corner when that crappie pattern, not that the summer pattern's a bad pattern, but that fall and winter pattern can be dynamite for those crappie.
We're slowly approaching those days of where there's so much opportunity, you don't know how to split up your time to do all of the hunting, all of the fishing that you want to do.
That's right. And the days are going to get short, and yeah, those daylight hours become like gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But hey, we ditched this 100 degree weather, and I'm okay with that.
Right. Me too. Me too.
Well, guys, thanks for tuning in with us today, and we're excited to chat with y'all next time. So please tell your friends about the Great Plains Outdoors podcast, and we will catch you guys next time.
See you later, Brittany.
See you later.